This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The Force was not with Microsoft. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The Department of Defense is canceling its massive $10 billion cloud storage contract with Microsoft, known as JEDI. This was a contract that was fought over for years. DoD is going to start over now with a new cloud storage system. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now live with the details. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Sabri.
So why was this contract with Microsoft canceled?
Well, let's go back to 2019 when the Pentagon awarded Microsoft the contract to build the Joint Enterprise Defense Infrastructure Cloud System, or JEDI. Amazon was also vying for it. And it said the contract was awarded unfairly to Microsoft after interference from former President Trump. Trump repeatedly criticized Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, who owns the Washington Post. Trump didn't like the Post's coverage of his administration. Amazon filed a lawsuit, so the contract was tied up in the courts. And the Pentagon said by the time Amazon's challenge was settled, the JEDI system would be outdated.
Wow. So how have Amazon and Microsoft reacted to this?
Microsoft says it respects and accepts the Pentagon's decision. Amazon says it understands and agrees with it. And they both appear very interested in bidding on the new contract.
Okay. What will the new cloud system look like?
It could be split among several vendors, possibly for security reasons, so the system would still be safe if one vendor was hit by a cyber attack. But the Pentagon isn't saying much about the new system or how long it'll take to actually design it.
Okay. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Let's take a look at the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.5%. S&P and NASDAQ futures are up in the 1-4% range. Dow futures up less than 0.1%, just 8 points. 10-year Treasury yield is at 1.343%. Bacteria have been developing resistance to antibiotics for basically as long as we've had antibiotics, since the mid-1940s. Humans are losing ground, and not simply because of the evolutionary tenacity of bacteria, but also because of economics. Markets are not developing new antibiotics fast enough, warns Maren McKenna, a journalist and senior fellow at the Center for the Study of Human Health at Emory University. She wrote about this for the MIT Technology Review and joins us now. Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
So we are in this race with deadly organisms, and yet, you have pointed out, all the big players who would make or develop new antibiotics left the business nearly 20 years ago. Why?
If you think back to the last time you took an antibiotic or a member of your family did, you probably didn't take that drug for very long. It probably didn't cost all that much money. And when you were done, that infection that you were taking the antibiotics for should have gone away. All of those conditions are really different than most of the other drugs that pharmaceutical companies make and want to make money for. The costs of making a drug don't actually vary by the category of drug that you're making. But the amount of revenue that you get back at the far end of that is much greater if you're making a cancer drug, an immunology drug, a drug for cardiovascular disease, than if you're making an antibiotic.
You also talk about something called the Valley of Death problem when it comes to drug development, specifically for antibiotics. Can you explain that for us?
With those big companies, with those multiple income streams having left the landscape, it falls to small biotechs who have no other sources of income except friends and family or maybe VC investors to fund all of those phases of trials, some of which can be very large. And so it's possible for them to run out of money before they get all the way to the end of the process, to the FDA, and get their drug approved. There's kind of a second valley of death, which is after approval, but before a drug gets to profitability. In the past couple of years, a number of those small biotechs that were making new drugs have gone bankrupt, put themselves up for auction, in various ways left the sector. And many of them did it after their drug had reached approval. So the economic landscape is super tricky.
People have pointed out in the past that the economics of developing vaccines were similarly fraught. And yet we managed to make it work, and we made it work very quickly for COVID. Did we learn anything from that that could be applied to antibiotics?
There were changes in financing. Operation Warp Speed, the big investment by the U.S. government, was $18 billion. But there also were changes in how clinical trials were structured, the way in which the FDA's staff was willing to talk to companies as clinical trials were going through. There were guarantees of purchase at the far end. There were a whole bunch of things that just flattened the various hurdles that would keep a drug from getting to market. And that was appropriate, right? Because COVID has been the worst public health challenge in more than 100 years. The people who develop antibiotics say, look, resistance is really serious. At some point, we are going to face something like this. We should consider this kind of making the landscape easier for new antibiotics as well, so that we have them in time when we need them.
Maren McKenna, journalist and senior fellow at the Center for the Study of Human Health at Emory University. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You can hear more of my conversation with Maren McKenna at marketplace.org. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.